Be'ezah Shem Mizbo'ach, we begin Perek Shisha, the sixth chapter in the Dalam Silchas Mamalibim, the laws of Lenda and the Bar, and the Sefer Mishpatim, the Book of Judgment. We continue the theme of the previous Parakim discussing the laws of Ribbis, of prohibited interest in this loan between the lender and the Bar. Which specifically in this Perek we discuss as it relates to the collateral, the security of the eating of the Paris, of the utility of that security that is given from the Bar to the lender. As Rama gives halacha off regarding the halacha of ribbis, as it applies to the properties of the borrower, if it's at the time of the loan itself. Hamam es chaveroi sela, so someone lends his friend a sela, b'chamisha dinar, so really a sela is worth 4 dinar, he lends it to him for 5 dinar. Oy sasayim chitim, or 2 sa of wheat, b'sholcha, he's going to give back 3. Oy sela b'sela usa, or a sela for a sela and a sa, which are mixing currency and measurements, a sholosh sa'in, or he's giving him 3 saw, b'sholosh sa'in b'dinah, that he's going to give him back 3 saw and a dinner. Either way, all these cases, kosher, whatever the rule of it is, kol alva, any loan between severs kosher that you're adding on a whatever it is, whether it be money or the food item, or money for food or food for money, either way, whatever additions, that's the biblical prohibition of interest, the yitzah b'dion, and it could be extracted from the lender with judges to give it back to the bar. V'chein so too. Hamal ve'es chaveri. If someone lends his friend v'hisne imay, and he stipulates with him, she'yodur b'chatzei rechinam, that he could dwell in his courtyard, in the bar's courtyard, for free, at she'yachzu halvasa, until he gives him back his loan, oy or, she'socher mimena b'pachis, or he's just going to charge him cheaper rent. V'katzav ha'davir she'pachis lo'y min ha'socher. And they set this cheaper price of the rent, until he gives him back his loan, or shemishkin biyado, or he has security that the borrower is giving to the lender, which is his item, which is being kept by the lender. That's called collateral security, and it's a makim shepirosim mitzun beisalva. It's a place where the lender's produce is found there at the time of the loan. Kogon shemishkin chatseder. Let's say where he gives security his courtyard of the borrower, amanas with condition shiyado bebechinim that the lender could dwell there for free. All these cases had a zodibah shall tell you this, the biblical halacha of forbidden interest, and it can be extracted with judges. If someone sells a field, a chutz or a courtyard, which we can explain later in halacha dal, what that is, but it's reliance that this is not really going to happen. So, since ultimately the buyer does not really acquire the property, the field or the courtyard, so it comes out that all the produce that he's eating, really, essentially, he didn't really buy. Essentially, the money that he gave was really a loan because he's getting back that money. And therefore, all the payers that he ate in the meantime are really ribbis, his interest on that loan. And he has to give them back. That's the biblical prohibition. But then, same thing as and similar, anyone that did not really have a full-fledged acquisition already from the beginning, which we can explain that in Halacha Hey, similar to this Abbas Machta, Shumachzer is a payers again, it has to give back the produce, Neshem Ochel is a payers, because if you're eating the payers, Hariz Ribbis Shalteris, that's a biblical prohibition about ribbis. Now, B'chol Dov, Shuasim Shem Ribbis Chutz Milu, now any other cases that are forbidden because of ribbis, except for the cases that we describe, which are the biblical cases, those are explained in the next chapters. Those that are not these cases, they're rabbinically forbidden. As exeris, the kri shem yabal ribbis shalter, because it might come to lead to the biblical ribbis. But it's called avak ribbis, the dust of interest. And that cannot be collected and extracted from the lender by the judges. Halacha beis. Regarding, this was all if it was at the time of the loan. If it's not at the time of the loan, that's considered as avak ribbis. So if someone lends his friend money, lo yimshich es abdo, he's not allowed to pull that guy's slave, kadesh yasabai malacha, to do work with him. Even though that borrower slave is just sitting there and doing nothing, and based on the primary law, if someone uses someone else's slave when he's doing nothing, he's exempt from paying. Here it's going to be forbidden because it looks like he's using him through the medium of interest for the loan that he gave to his master. So to below he cannot dwell in that guy's courtyard without pay. Even though the court is not meant for rental, and the owner, that person, doesn't usually rent it out. Doesn't make a difference. And actually, if Darfi dwells over there, so even in a certain situation where most people would not have to pay, in this case, he has to actually give him the rent so that it doesn't violate the prohibition about ribbis, because he's getting more for his money, he's getting a free rental, albeit generally it's not a concern, but here it has that appearance. Now, if he doesn't pay for the rent, so that's the dust of ribbis, again, which cannot be extracted with judges, but lafish lehisne imoy shealvei biyod b'chatzera. Why is it considered only avak ribbis? Is because it wasn't stipulated with him at the time of the loan that he's going to go ahead and dwell in this courtyard. And therefore, that wouldn't make it ribbis ketsutso, it would only make it the rabbinic prohibition. Now, lafikach, therefore, since it's avak ribbis, so you don't have to say, if let's say that he already went and gave it back, that he already utilized it, that we don't extract it, but even if he did not yet, if he did not yet give him back his debt, so he's coming to take off the, you know, you stayed in my courtyard, I'm going to charge you for that, what you used up from, the, you know, what I owe you from the loan. No. That, if let's say the amount of rent that he used of that borrower's property was equivalent to the amount of the debt, he cannot diminish all that value. Only what the judges see fit. Why? Because if you get rid of the lender without paying him up anything, or is it like if you extracted this value with the judges, but you cannot. So you still own the thing, the loan money. This that was the interest that he's utilizing the fields. You want to charge him, yeah, but you can't cancel out the debt because that would be extracting that money from him, which again, we said that has no rights to extract that extra value, which is the avak ribbis. You cannot extract that with judges. So you have to give him back for the loan and not disqualify it based on his utilizing the borrower's property. Halacha Gimel. Hoyer Beisai, says the Rambam, my teacher's rule. If someone lends his friend, now, at a later point in time, he's demanding his money back. But the borrower says, oh, look, dar b'chatzeirai, you know, I let you live in my property, in my courtyard, until I return the debt that I owe you. That's the dust of ribbis. It's interest because he's getting something free out of that loan. Again, it's only avak ribbis because he did not set it at the time of the loan. Like it says in the pasuk, which tells us that the problem is only at the time of the giving of the loan, then there shouldn't be gimur interest. But if it's not at the same time, so then that would only be rabbinically forbidden. Halacha Dalid continues with when you have ribbis with a conditional sale, which again, these could turn into essentially loans. Hamavas chaber al asada. So if someone lends his friend on a field, which means to say here, this is like the collateral of the loan. But Amalo, in the lender, tells him at the time of the giving of the money to the borrower, he says, look, if you don't give me the money back within 3 years, that field is mine for the money that I'm giving you. He has not acquired the field. Why? Smachta means reliance, where the seller slash borrower, he's not confident that he's going to be selling this because he intends to pay it up by a certain time. So therefore, the buyer slash lender doesn't acquire it. Now, lefikach, therefore, menaka kalapeda sha'achal. So all the produce that the buyer slash lender will be eating in the meantime, based on the fact that this is being sold to him, you're going to have to diminish all that from the debt of the loan, because since he's not conclusively selling it to him, comes out that really the monies of the sale is really a loan. And the lender slash buyer who's eating the payers because of the money of the loan, so you have to take that off as if that's payment for the loan. Because or else it's the biblical ribbis, this was agreed upon at the time of the loan. Now, ablam amalo hamoicher, but if the seller slash borrower, he initiates and he says, if I don't pay you back within 3 years, you'll acquire it from right now at the time they were doing the loan. Oh, that's not a smachta. And he will acquire it because had he not intended to acquire it to him, he would not have made the kinyan from right now. And so if he pays it up within 3 years, so in pairs. So that buyer slash lender does not have payers, and you have to diminish whatever he ate from the debt because it was never sold. But if he only brings in the money after 3 years, all the produce belongs to the buyer because he did not fulfill the condition. Comes out that the field was sold retroactively, and therefore it comes out that all the payers within 3 years was his, and it was a sale, not as a loan. Halacha hey. If someone sells a house or a field, And again, the seller is always the borrower. He's the one that's getting money from the buyer, which again, if it doesn't end up being a sale, is really a loan. So the seller says to the buyer, which when I'll have money, I mean, he's selling of his property, but because he needs funds, he needs liquid cash, when I'm going to have money, I'm going to give you back the money, and I want to get my land back. So halacha is, this is similar to what we said in the previous halacha. He has not acquired it, and therefore, all the produce that the buyer is eating is ribis ketsutza, is a set ribis, because essentially what you're doing is, it's really a fancy loan, which he's selling it, he's getting money, but he's going to say, I'm going to give back the money, I'm going to give back my field. So there's a loan of the money the guy got for all that time that it was quote unquote sold to him. So all that payers was ribis on that loan. Therefore, from that buyer, you could extract whatever he ate with judges. But let's say it's not the seller who said this. The buyer on his own volition, he said, don't worry. He's buying it from that seller. And he says, when you have money on the Avzla Karkas, I'll give you back this property. I'll sell it back to you. So mutta is permitted. And therefore the buyer could eat the payers such as until his money is given back to him. And there's no problem about Garibis over here, because here the buyer on his own is obligating himself in the condition, but the seller agreed to quote unquote sell it without the stipulation, so it's not a loan, it really was a sale. Hachavav, regarding ribis when it's to a partial sale. Mochalo yasasade, if he sells him a field, but not mixasadam, and the buyer only paid part of the monies. So if the seller tells the buyer, look, he says, so acquiring the property according to the measurement of the proportion of the money, however much you paid. So each one of these parties, the seller and the buyer, each one could eat from the produce according to the measurement of the monies they have invested, because the buyer did not pay up all, and therefore the seller still has rights in it. So they each eat pairs according to what they have. Now, if the seller says to the buyer, when you end up giving the rest of the monies, then from now you'll acquire the whole field, but before you give the monies, then you don't have anything. Then shnei masrim lech leperis miyad. Then neither one of them could eat the peris right now. Why? Hamoicher also the seller slash borrower. He's getting the money from the lender slash buyer. So the seller is forbidden because shema yobi halikeach shamoich. What's going to happen is like this. Maybe the buyer will bring the rest of the monies. Venimtza sasad shalai. As we explained, it's going to come out that it was really the buyer's from now, because he said miachshav. So venimtza, it's going to come out. If hamoicher oichel peiros, if the seller is going to be eating the produce in between, you know why he's going to be eating it? Wait a minute, how are you eating it? It retroactively was the buyer's. Oh, you know why I'm eating it? V'shvil hamois shenishiru etz lekech, because on some level, the money that was owed to him by the buyer was a loan to the buyer. So in the merit of that loan is what gave the seller permission to eat. Oh, wait a second, that's ribis on that loan. We seem to pay for that. That's problematic. And that's, again, if the buyer ends up paying, we'll run into that problem. Now, at the same time, the buyer slash lender, he's forbidden to eat the pears. Why? Because maybe he's not going to end up bringing the monies. So it comes out, if he doesn't bring in the monies, so then really it's the seller's. Well, but the lekeach is eating the pears. So it comes out she'ochel b'shvil mikzas hamoyis. So it comes out that he was eating because some of the monies she'yesh lo etz lamoicher, that he technically, you could call that, he had loaned that money. He's going to get it back because it doesn't end up paying the whole thing. He's going to get his money back. But that money was loaned to the seller, and in the interim he was eating pears for that amount. So he's going to run into that problem because that's going to be ribis that way. So the people live on the peiros of the shalosh. So what you have to do is you have to leave whatever peiros does go in that period of time when it's not clear what's going to happen in a third party, until it's given to one of them, where if he pays, it's his, and if he doesn't pay, it's that of the sellers. Now, if the seller says to the, and this, again, the seller is the borrower, he says to the buyer, when you bring the rest of the monies, then tikne, then you're going to acquire from the time when you bring the rest of the monies, not from now. Oh, in that case, so then the seller could eat the produce until the lekeach brings the monies, because it's not going to be retroactively the buyer, so you don't have that problem. Now, the machal alakeach, if the lakeach actually eats it in the interim, then mitzimer, and then you do take it away from him, because then it comes out that he ate because some of the monies that he had by the seller, which was that side of the problem, which is still there. Only amoichav, the seller says to him, k'nei me'achshav. Now, this is the other way around. But let's say he says, I want you to acquire the whole field from now. What's with the shah ha'mois that you didn't pay up the rest of the monies? I didn't chay v'etzlach. Okay, it's a debt that's by you that you owe me. Oh, so here it's the other way around. So the buyer could eat the price because it's his already. You don't have the problem that it might be the moichers, and then you run into the problem that he was eating because of the little money he gave him and that he's going to get his money back, and it's like ribbis on his loan. The machal moichra, on the other hand, if the seller eats it, then you take away from him whatever he ate because he's eating because of the weighting of the monies that are owed to him, and that's going to be ribbis on his loan, so therefore he cannot eat from that. Halacha Zayin continues with the difference between the courtyard and the field, and between the mashkin, which is security, and the smachta, which is a sale that one is really relying that it's not going to happen. Hayu Rabbeisa, says the Rambam, my teachers ruled, Shamal ve'eschaveri, if someone lends his friend money, u'mishkin le'sadeir, and he gives him his field as security, amana she'echel pe'le sel kol yimei ha'mashkoina, on the condition that the seller, that the lender, could eat the produce all the days of its security by him. Even though he's not diminishing anything from the price. So that's interest. Besides getting his money back, he's getting whatever pay he's eating. It's still harizah avak ribbis. This is only the dust of ribbis. It means only rabbinic. It's not biblical, even though it seems to be a set amount right now at the time of the loan. And therefore, in the with the other cannot be extracted with judges. Why? So he explains. She'in ha'mamashka nesasad, because the halach of a field as collateral is not doing with a mashkin bayis, not the same thing as the rent of a house of collateral, which we explain halach of, which that is biblical ribbis. Why is it different over here? Because at the time of the loan, there is no payris over there in the field at that moment, so there's nothing distinct. And actually, now there might be profit and there might be payris over there. But at the same time, there might be a total washout, a loss of its planting and its work, and there might not be anything there at all. So it's only rabbinic ribbis, because it's not a definite and clear set amount, because nothing actually might be produced here at the end of the day. Now, so too, another discrepancy is, can't compare security / collateral. That's not comparable to someone who sells with nasmachta, like we explained in halacha dalad to vav. What's the difference? Sha'amoicher, because we're saying really both of them are not really sold to the buyer, but there's a difference. Sha'amoicher ba'asmachta, because someone who's selling with reliance that it's not really going to go through, he's really going to pay it up, it's not going to be sold to the lender / buyer. Loi gamar v'ikno. So he's really not having a mind for it to be sold at all. So it comes out that really, this buyer / lender was eating the payers of the meicher because of the monies that are by the meicher as a loan. So that's a real problem. But v'hamamashkin, when someone is giving security to the lender, although he's not selling it to him, but gamar v'kno guf zeh l'peiraisav, he is conclusively acquiring at least the property for its utility, for its payers, and that it is in the property of the lender that these payers are growing. So the actual acquisition of a field only for its payers is not ribbis ketzutza, because he does not really set with him about a clear profit, like we explained. So therefore, that's the difference between why mashkin is not as problematic as asmachta. And the kuzei yiramin and gemara, this is what it seems like from the gemara in Bab Metzidah of Samach Beis, shamashkaino, that this that we're saying that a mashkin security is only a vak ribbis, only the dust of ribbis. You could only have it by a case of when it's a security of a field. Like my teacher explained, that the halacha of mashkin, that's different than the smachta, is by a field, like we said, in contrast to that of a house. Now, so the Rambam concludes, and he says, so it comes that you learn as follows. Shoshosh mashkin is saying there's three types of securities. You have a mashkoin, you have a security shiribis ketzutza, which actually is a concrete biblical ribis. You have a mashkoin, you have a security shiavak ribis, only rabbinically forbidden. And you have a mashkoin, you have a collateral that's actually totally permitted. Ketzer house, so he illustrates all these three cases. Mishkan Lemakim, if he, let's say, he gives security as a place, that the produce of the lender is always over there, like a courtyard, a merchatz, or a bath, or a chanas, or a store, and the lender slash, the lender, he goes and he eats the produce of the security. That was a set profit that's going to be added on to the lender at the time of the loan. That's biblically prohibited. Now, Mishkan Lesada, but let's say, that's what we said, the Sada is different than a chatzar and a bayis. And let's say he gives security of his field, or similar things. And it ends up producing pears. It's not definite, but it ends up producing pears, and Bachon eats them, that's going to be rabbinically forbidden. Because it wasn't there at the time of the loan. And now the same thing would apply if, let's say, it's not a sada, not a field, it's a courtyard, which we just said before is the biblically prohibited case. But let's say he gives him his courtyard as security and things similar like that, benikui, where he diminishes the amount of the debt as he utilizes it. Well, how is that backwards? It's only rabbinic forbidden because biblically you're not really gaining anything. The debt is considered being paid up as he uses it. Now, the third case, a Mishkan Sadeu benikui, if it's his field, that's security. With Nikui, so we saw that like a chatzar and Nikui is similar to what like a sada is without Nikui. So if you have those two together, it's a security of only a field, which is not definite at all. And benikui, and as he's using, it's diminishing the amount of how much the debt is. Harizimut, that's totally permitted, and it's not even rabbinically forbidden. Now, Ketsu Haniku, how does this diminishing work? It's Kagan Shalbo made the norm. For example, let's say he lent him 100 dinar. So they gave him as security his courtyard or his field. And the lender tells him, look, I'm going to diminish from the amount of the loan a silver ma every year for the rent of this property that you gave me as security. So that all his produce, that my produce should be in the courtyard and similar. So that's going to be asa. That's going to be forbidden. Because of avak ribis, meaning we're talking about nikui over here, and we said that a nikui by a chatzer, which is the case that we're talking about, so that's not ribis katsutsa, even though he's diminishing the amount of the that he's getting from the rent, and the reason for that is because he doesn't set explicitly how much it's less because of his payment for the loan, but of a sadaki itzba. So that's the difference between the case of chatzar and sada. By the case of a chatzar, so that's chatzar b'nikui, that's going to be forbidden. But by field, which you said is field is different than chatzar. Chatzar is definite that you get what you get out of it. Field is not definite. You don't know what's going to happen. It might be a washout. So a field then similarly is going to be mutz. Is going to be totally permitted because again the profit's not clear, and in contrast to a chatzar, which it is, and therefore there it's going to be like somewhat of a. Like because of the loan of the that it's like a reward of the extra monies, and that's why it's as if the rental is less, and in contrast to a sada is going to be totally permitted. Halacha Ches concludes with the halacha of security that you could have that like as if it's a permitted rental. So it says how to mix this going. Some of the going ruled shakol mashkaina. That any security, even that of a field, because also by a field, that's also that as if you're charging cheaper rent as wages for the loan, which is problematic. If she'imba niku klal, that you don't have, that you're taking off from the debt price, harei ribis kitzutza, that's going to be considered biblical ribis. But, says the Rambam, v'yardu lo imik hadavar, they didn't go down to the depth of the thing, lahafresh bin sad l'chatzah, to differentiate. As we explained in the previous halacha between a field and a courtyard, therefore, it was hard for them to understand the words of the sages of the Gemara. They also ruled that every security, even what you're diminishing, is also going to be forbidden, whether a courtyard or a field. And they don't have any case that security is permitted. Only in this one case that we're going to describe right now, which case? What's this case? Which in the Gemara is called mashkanta de suda. For example, he lent them 100 dinar. And he gave him security, a house or a field. And he stipulated with him that after 10 years, you're going to give the property back to the owner for free, meaning canceling out, wiping out the debt. Then he's permitted to go ahead and eat the pears for all those 10 years. Even though the profit he's getting out of the property is 1,000 dinar every single year, and the loan was only for 100 dinar, that's not a problem. It's only as if like that it's like a cheaper rental. He's charging him whatever it is, 10 dinar, even though he's getting 1,000 out of it, and that's permitted even therefore by a chatzar. And you don't even have to have, like we said, the lenient case of sadeh. And so too, if let's say the owner of the field stipulated with him that he said, whenever he's going to bring the lender monies, that he's going to calculate for him at 10 every single year, meaning he's going to take off from the loan 10 dinar for a year because of the pears that he ate. And he's going to remove the lender from the field. In contrast, the lender, if he wants to return the field and to collect the excess of the money, we're not going to listen to him. That's going to be permitted because, again, that's only like a rental, in contrast to all other types of securities, that if the lender wants to return the field, he can return it and he collects the loan from the assets of the borrower. That comes out that the reason why he's giving him a cheaper rental is because of the excess money, which is a loan. That would be a problem. So too, if let's say the borrower stipulates, whenever he wants to, that we're going to calculate for whatever it is that he was dwelling over there. And then he'll just pay back the rest of the loan and he'll remove the lender. Again, there is a mutter, which seems like similar to what he said before, that's permitted. It's just like a cheaper rental. Any stipulation by rental, even though he's charging very little, is mutter, is permitted, like we explained, but that wouldn't be a problem about an interest on a loan.